Blog Talk Radio.
Night. This is Barn Goddess Barbecue and More. I'm your host, Lori Frazee. I'd like to welcome you to the show and thank my guests from last week. Had a great time with the boys from Texas, really doing a wrap-up show from the Texas Championship of Barbecue Pitmaster. We had J.D., Davidsmeyer, Junior Urias, and Matt Pittman on last week. So if you missed it and you want to check it out, look for the archives link either at Blog Talk Radio or you can find it on either my Barn Goddess Barbecue page as well as my personal page, Lori Frazee, and check that out. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q. You know, Jim's kicking butt right now in Florida as well as across the nation. For just about any time he enters a contest, he's doing really well. He got his fifth grand championship, and I think he just needs two more on the Jack Daniels qualifiers so that he could get in on seven, which would be great to see. But I'd like to thank him. And we've got a – he did his GC this weekend, and in honor of that, we have a 20% discount on all Sweet Smoke Q products on his website for 20% off using the code GODDESS, G-O-D-D-E-S-S. And if you haven't tried the pork injection, now might be a great time to do that. With that 20% off. Also like to thank Mac Daddy Smokers. If you haven't seen my little Pit Viper that I'm using right now in the competition, let me tell you, it does such a great job on smoke rings. I missed having a stick burner, and I'm so happy to have one back in my little arsenal. So real happy to have them on board. Rec-Tec Pellet Cookers, they're the ones with the bullhorn. If you haven't seen them, amazing cooker. I do my chicken on it, and they come out. It comes out great every time. You know, somebody said to me, don't you do more competition size than that? And I'm like, nope. I do because it always treats them right. So barring a problem with electric, which we have all the time, and that's what makes it a sport, I depend on my Rec-Tec. Cookinpellets.com. I think I've mentioned before that you know, they're a premium pellet, and it's actually the Rec-Tec is calibrated for the cookinpellets.com, and I'm super happy with them. I can run it all day and never think about checking that hopper. So really thankful to them. Royal Oak Charcoal, both the briquettes and lump charcoal, amazing product, lots of BTU there. And, of course, Pirate 50, custom artwork and trophy. I just got my new sign from Dale. You can check that out on my webpage or probably on his. He does a great job, and you can see that. So I'm going to jump ahead here real quick. I see my first guest is here. And, Robbie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I hear you, Lori.
Okay. Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. And y'all?
Really good. And I just got to say, you know what, it was kind of funny. Robbie left me a message today. Robbie's with Rescue Smokers out of Georgia, and we had him on last year. You're definitely a barbecue fan favorite. A lot of people really enjoy listening to you talk and everything, but you put on your note that you'd be on time this year. I had forgotten all about that. And, you know, you serve the public as you're living, and sometimes stuff happens, doesn't it?
That's exactly right, and that's what happened last time. I had a wreck and had to go to it, and that's the reason I was running late, I think. And
yep.
I was going to make sure to be on time today. I wouldn't allow any wrecks.
Well, great. And, listen, congratulations on a couple things. First off, your daughter got married. Beautiful pictures that you had on the Internet.
She was gorgeous, and we had a good weekend, and the sun opened up down in Destin for about 6 hours, just long enough to get the wedding completed. It was a great weekend.
Yeah, and I did see that, you know, don't you hate when that sand gets in your eyes and it gets you all teared up?
Absolutely, because I don't cry for anything, but that sand burns. That's the way it does. It's real gritty.
Yes, it is. Well, anyway, and the other thing is congratulations on your big win with Barbecue Pitmasters. That's why we really wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing to get to go back this year and give it another shot. Having a blast watching the shows. The Texas boys last week, I listened to them for about 10 minutes, and then I had to run out. But good friends with all of those guys, Matt, JD, and Junior. Junior and I have been in contact for a lot of years, and he's a sport. I'm looking forward to going against him in the semis.
Yeah, that'll be great. Now, let's just go back because you made a point that, you know, you came back this year, and that was one of the things you and I had talked about on the show last year, that you kind of almost did a throwdown of a challenge to the Pitmaster folks to bring you back.
A little bit. I want Rod Gray again, head-to-head. We've competed against him only one other time, and that was in Cumming 2 years ago, and we finished way ahead of him. We barely missed a grand up there that day, but I feel like, and I'm not afraid to say it, I feel like we beat him in that episode last year. I think he knows we did. And in his own heart, and that's not being cocky, but it was so close it was ridiculous, 1/16 of a point.
Yeah.
And it was really unfortunate to come out on the losing end of that, especially with Whole Hog in the finale. So it was a big disappointment. It was an emotional weekend already, but had a blast. I'd love to cook against Rod. We're friends now, and we have conversations from time to time. And I'm probably going to go back up to Cumming this year and get some more of it.
Oh, now didn't you also, when we were talking last year, didn't you tell me that part of your bucket list was to win the Vianna contest?
Yeah, we only had one thing left on our bucket list, our barbecue bucket list. Folks joke about that, but that was to beat, not just to beat Myron, but to win the Big Pig Jig in Vianna. And we've been second place to Myron 3 years in a row. And we finally got past him this year and won the grand with a perfect score in Whole Hog in the final. And it's complete, you know. Like I said, we had no intentions of going back on Pitmasters this year. Wouldn't mind doing it again. But we, you know, and at the very last minute, we were encouraged to put a video in that a lot of folks wanted to see us back on there. And that was fun to hear. And so we put in and we got chosen. And I don't know, living the barbecue dream, as some of the producers say on Barbecue Pitmasters.
Yeah, absolutely. You really are. And now I forget, how long have you been competing?
Been competing professionally mainly since about 1999, 2000, but that was with just the pig jig. And then in 2007, Raymond Four, my cooking partner, and I decided we wanted to compete in other organizations such as the FBA, GBA, and KCBS, and a few more NBN events. And the guy who owned the cooker on the team that we were on then, he wasn't interested and didn't want us to use the cooker, so we kind of separated off, and the rest is history. We've been having a blast. It took us 2 years to figure a few things out, but once we figured out what was important, and you know, to the judges, that we weren't cooking for ourselves, we're cooking for judges, you know.
Right.
And you know as well as I do, cooking in the FBA especially, those judges like it sweet, and I despise sweet, but that's what you got to put out. You got to put out there what the judges want, not what you want.
Well, and, you know, you're cooking GBA. What's the profile there in GBA when you cook there?
You've heard the old adage, sweet heat. They definitely want some sweetness with a lot of brown sugar, some molasses, a ketchup-based sauce with a little bit of vinegar, and then a good hit on the end. Not quite as much of a hit as you would put on it in a KCBS, but a nice hit on the end. And haven't cooked a lot of GBAs in the last 2 years just because we're not cooking a lot anymore. And but that's your flavor profile for a GBA. And, you know, you've got the pork loin in GBA, and you've got finals. So it's a fun organization, and it's an interesting organization to cook in. And we won several times there and enjoy cooking it, but we just don't get the opportunity to as much anymore.
But before we get into Barbecue Pitmasters, for rescue smokers themselves, what do you guys have coming up for cooks?
Our next cook is a KCBS in Waynesboro next weekend. And then we're doing a cook down in Fernandina in June. And July, we've got a local event here that we're helping. It's a non-sanctioned event that we help put on. We don't cook in it. And then we'll be cooking a couple of FBA events. We're doing Bainbridge, and hopefully we're one of those lucky teams that gets in Panama City, because we're going to be down there that week already on vacation. So it'd be great to be able to cook while we're on vacation and not have anything to worry about. And after that, I think we're doing Thomas's Cook down there in
Lake City.
Yeah, and I plan on doing Damon's Cook down in Lake
Live Oak.
Live Oak.
Yep.
And so we're doing a lot of FBAs that we're doing Jessup this year, and we're going to squeeze in a few more KCBSs. We're doing the Real Squeal, Lyons, Georgia, and then the Pig Jig and Up and Coming, and then we're doing a Marietta Cook. So we've got about 10 cooks we're going to do this year.
Yeah, well, if we're not going to cook as much, you've got quite a few on the book. You're not going to Evans?
My wife and I already had a little Memorial weekend getaway planned, so we're not going to be in Evans this year.
Okay, because I'm actually coming up to do that.
I don't blame you. It's an awesome cook. We cooked it twice, and you just got to get a little bit lucky to come home breaking even, you know. And if you get real lucky, you're coming home nice, you know. So and it's a fun cook. I mean, you're going to get some of the best ones there are. You know, Johnny Trigg will be there. Tuffy will be there. I heard Rod Gray was sliding over there this year, so you'll have fun being a radio personality and being able to chat with them.
No, I'm going to cook, but I probably will do it. You know, if Daryl's not doing something, I'll probably do a little live remote there, too. But so let's talk about your cook, because you went up against Heavenly Hogs and Rolling Grill, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. And I'm going right for the guts of the matter, because I have never seen somebody clean a salmon or a fish with an electric knife, and you kicked ass on that. I'm telling you, I couldn't believe it.
I appreciate it. I'm not going to lie to you. When I opened, you know, we were there. We were figuring pork. We didn't know if we would catch ham like they did last time they did a Georgia regional, or if we would catch butt or what, you know. But we knew it was going to be something pork for sure. But I'm not going to tell you. You don't see everything on TV that happens that gets recorded. But I had a few, not four-letter words, I guess you would call it, when I opened that cooler and I saw three down fish staring back up at me, and I didn't have a damn clue what the hell they were to start with. So it was super interesting to put a Georgia twist on salmon. And you see me on the show, I flipped that salmon over about five times on the show. I bet I flipped it over 40 times trying to figure it out. But that's the way I've cleaned fish my entire life, whether it be snapper or grouper, or if it be up here at home, catfish or big white perch or bass. And it's just a way to – you basically take all the bone out of it immediately except for the fin bones. And it was it came out well. We overcooked it slightly. I'm not going to lie to you. We just went with something. I'd heard of a dry brine before. I've never cooked salmon before in my life. And I was really pleased with our results.
Wow. So, I mean, I know that they give you guys a list of, what, 30 things or so that you might get, or do they narrow it down?
It's about 75 items.
Oh, really?
And about 75 items, and you have about 5 minutes, 10 minutes to look at it. And I noticed that on there, and that was we were fortunate. We were on there last year, and so it was basically the same list, but with an item or two added, an item or two taken off. And you're right, it is about 35 items, not 75 items, about 35 or 40 items. And I don't know, we already had everything that we used. I mean, except for a lemon pepper marinade that we ran to the store and got, just because that's what I like on my fish here.
Mm-hmm.
And did a dry brine. I've done a dry brine on some bass before using brown sugar, so I just tried it. And it's basically 2 pounds of brown sugar, dark brown sugar, and a cup of kosher salt. And what it does, it draws the fishiness out, and it draws a lot of moisture out of it. But as it's drawing that moisture out, that the salt pulls the moisture out, but the sugar soaks into the meat. And it was a great flavor. Tuffy said that he's been cooking salmon for a lot of years, and this remark didn't make the show, but he says it's the best piece of salmon he's ever had in his life, and that means a lot to him from Tuffy. A lot.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's one of those things you'd like to hear on the you'd like to hear on the air. No, you really, it looked beautiful, And was there anybody that was a little hesitant about putting fish on their smokers? Because a lot of people want to put fish on something, a different cooker than their regular cooker.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? Once you come on set, you're not allowed to leave. You can't go buy another smoker. You can't go buy another grill. I mean, it's you're there. You're under contract now to cook, so you just got to go with it. But what we did, we lined the shelf up under the shelf that we were cooking the salmon on with aluminum foil.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back, that as soon as we got through cooking the salmon, well, when I went back to the pit, Raymond pulled the rack out and laid it out, and it's still in the back of the truck now. It's been pressure washed twice, but haven't had any adverse effects whatsoever. We've cooked on the smoker twice since then, and had good results from it, so no problems there.
Well, that's good, because that that's one of those things. I don't usually put fish into all of my cookers. I'm sure most people don't. So, yeah, that would be the big glitch in it. But I'm sure you were happy to see the ham. Your box was beautiful.
Well, I appreciate it. And I caught a lot of criticism on Facebook, my personal Twitter, on displaying ham like I would probably the way I would do a normal pork box or whatever. But, you know, they were expecting something out of the box. And, yeah, normally traditional Georgia ham would be either sliced or chopped.
Right.
But, you know, you're on Barbecue Pit Masters. You've got to wow them. And, you know, it's kind of like Eric with Roland Grill. Eric's a great cook, and he's got great flavor profiles. You know, I know he accidentally had a bone in the end there this year, but you know, you've got to concentrate. You know how important you can do well in an event and have great product no matter what the competition, whether it's Pitmasters, FBA, KCPS. But if you get a 9.5 or an 8 on a box where you need a 9, or if you don't get perfect scores at any competition on your appearance, you're not going to win that competition or win that particular category. So, and no, it starts with the eyes. If it looks good, that kind of makes it taste good. Then it was phenomenal. Right? It was a great ham, and it dissected perfectly. And I don't know, we just threw it together. I mean, it was kind of had it planned out in my head. I told Raymond while it was cooking, when we had a little break, that I wanted to go with 5 or 6 different cuts of meat, and especially some knuckle meat, because that's always some of the best part when you're presenting whole hog in MBN, is the knuckle meat off the shoulder as well as off the ham. It's a little something extra for the judges. And it they told us after the show that the knuckle meat was the best piece of meat in the pork box. So
really?
I was proud to put it there, yes.
Yeah, well, that good decision, because you don't know what they're going to do. I mean, somebody may not like that mouth feel. It's like people with brisket. Do you leave a little fat on for them, or, you know, does it gross them out when they stick it in their mouth? So, yeah, you never know what you're going to do with that. I'm trying to think of what else. How did you like it being down in Florida? What did you think about that whole deal, having everybody film there?
It was great for the risky smokers, because we had the shortest travel. But,
yeah, you did.
You know, I thought it was pretty cool. And when I say cool, it was cool, because the first week that we were down there was when that cold weather came through northern Florida and middle Florida there. And, I mean, it was 28 degrees that morning we were cooking. We like to froze. We weren't prepared clothing-wise. You know, we're coming to central Florida or north central Florida, and Raymond and I were not prepared for that cold weather. And I'm not gonna lie, I like to froze, because you stand out there for a while doing different things. We can't go into a lot of detail because we're under contract and in an NDA, non-disclosure stuff. But you stand out there for a lot longer than you think, and you're really cold, and you're standing in one place for a long time, getting different takes of different questions, and it's it was cold. I mean, we broke the hinges on all of our coolers because they froze up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, it was cold that weekend.
Yeah, because it was right on the river, and that wind coming off that river probably wasn't helping anything. Did the wind off the water affect you at all with your cook?
Not with our cook. It blew some paper towels down. You know, we've got the insulated stumps, and we're real happy to cook on those stumps. Been a great asset for us, and we've run a lot of stuff on our stump smokers. So our temps held good, and I think that's one of the things that benefited us in that show, because the winds were blowing about 15 miles per hour, and it was raining on us most of the time. It rained on us about 90% of the time. You don't see a lot of rain when when we're actually staying out here in front of the judges. But during that entire process, we were cold and wet, and but we held temperatures well. And you know, when I was saying that I overcooked my salmon a little bit, and I say salmon, but they make you say salmon because I'm from Georgia, so it's salmon. But I wanted to pull that salmon at about 145 degrees, and it I checked it and it was 138, and that's when we let go for 10 minutes, and in a 10-minute period it jumped to 155 degrees. So I thought it was perfect, and Tuffy thought it was perfect, but Myron and Mo both thought it was a little dry. But it flaked well and still had moisture, but I could say that it wasn't dry because I know it was about 10 degrees too hot.
Yeah, and do you think that was a result of not wanting it to get too cold once you brought it out with the colder weather?
It is. You know, when you're doing a show like that, you've got to bring every item off at the exact same time so they're hot. And literally, the salmon stayed on the port box was the first box we built. I think it was the first box everybody built. I don't remember for sure. But, you know, we put the port box in there, and then we put it in our little zip-up hot pack and sat it over back in the Cambro, you know, for a minute while we were doing it. But it literally only took, knew exactly what we were going to do to the salmon box, because it wasn't going to fit in there but one way. It wasn't going to fit crisscross. It wasn't going to get four pieces in there. I would have liked to put four, but I wanted them to see the full piece of fish, and instead of being kind of slanted in there, laying against each other like a tilted deck of cards or whatever.
Right,
and,
right.
And I wasn't as pleased with the presentation because you can't do so much with it. I mean, you put three pieces of salmon in the box and hoping it's good. But I was super proud of my port box, and I knew when I turned it in, if nothing else, I was going to get Tuffy's eye and Mo's eye and Myron's eye with wow. You know, it just popped. And it's not the prettiest box we've ever built, but it was really nice, I thought.
Yeah, it was a really nice box. Now, let me ask you this about boxes. Were you part of the Georgia team last year when they did the Georgia-Florida throwdown at the Lake City contest? Did you build on the Georgia box?
Yeah, I built the box, yes.
Oh, you did build the box.
Yeah, I built the Georgia team's box. I got drawn as the captain last year as myself. Okay. Bill Tanner, I did the brisket. Bill Tanner did the pork. Michael Mixon did the ribs. And Foy Watley with Barbecue Crew cooked the chicken. But
basically
put the box together.
Oh, well, I didn't remember who was on the Georgia team. But, boy, you know, I think that was a really fun deal.
It was definitely fun. I hope Thomas does it again this year, and it'd be fun to have another captain pick. Well, I didn't have a whole lot of choice. You know, we turned out having five Georgia teams there, but they started out at four for the longest time. So the team was decided by just the amount of teams that entered, you know, and then Captain Jack entered there at the last minute. And they came over kind of touched bases with us too on it, but we already had the four chosen. And I look forward to that challenge again and hopefully us carrying that trophy back to Georgia this year. I was I was really happy with my brisket that I put in the box. And, you know, we got the score sheets, and the only category we won was rib. And so I was disappointed there. I know Bill Tanner was disappointed. We're ready to do it again. You know how competitive Bill is. If Bill's not a grand or reserve, something's wrong because he's such a great FBA cook. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he is, and, you know, he's been out for a while, but he's back, and, you know,
yeah, I did brisket for a team this weekend up in Barnesville. We kind of put four teams together and cooked under Smoke Rise, and then we took three top tens, including the first place in rib that I had nothing to do with those three categories, and brisket was our worst category. I think we took, like, 15th or 16th in brisket, and I was disappointed there, too, but Bill had a great cook. We cooked right next to him, and I had fun sitting with he and Teresa and just catching up, because we used to cook a lot together.
Did you? Now, who was cooking with the team what do you call it, Smoke Rising?
Smoke Rising. That's Matt Lee out of Blackshear, Georgia. He's got a barbecue joint over there, he's cooked a couple of FBAs with other folks, and he's cooked one, I think, at a Smoke Rising. But he and Jack Fallon with Captain Jack's cook together a lot, and they usually cook under Captain Jack. And Matt did chicken. Another guy from another team, I can't think of the team, but he did ribs, and that's what we won. We won with his ribs in the rib category. And then Captain Jack Fallon did pork, and I did brisket. So
neat. Well, that's fun.
Had a relaxing weekend where you only had to worry about one category. And Matt bought the meat through his restaurant. So I never cooked a cab. I always cook a Wagyu.
Do you?
It was a different cook.
We were chatting about that this weekend. You always cook Wagyu. Are you cooking Snake River, or what are you cooking?
I cook Snake River. I've been cooking Snake River for about, I didn't for the first 3 years we were doing brisket, and then when I started using Snake River, started having some really good results in a lot of first places, a lot of second places, a lot of top fives. We had 17 briskets consecutively at one time that were in the top five cooking Wagyu, Snake River Wagyu, and just have fun with it now. So.
Yeah, well, obviously you figured it out.
When you think you figured something out, something else declines. Then that's what's happening with my chicken. So.
Well, that is kind of a story, isn't it? And that's what makes it a sport. You have some sponsors, don't you?
I have Baxter's Wood out of Fitzgerald, Georgia. Baxter does us really well with wood, and we don't get a lot from him, but when we do get it, he gets it fresh for me, and I've had a lot of good results since we've been cooking with it. And then other than Baxter's stuffs, we cook. They're our cookers. We paid for them. But Stump's always good. If I have a problem, he always takes care of me on my smokers. And that's about it as far as sponsors, other than we just picked up a sponsor out of Georgia here that we're in a new cook trailer, and it's in the process. Terry McKay's in the process of wrapping it this week, so I'm looking forward to seeing that finished product.
Nice.
But it's Mid-State RV out of Byron, Georgia, and we're going to do a little advertisement with that cook trailer for him, and do a couple of cooks for his customers and stuff like that. We paid for it, but we didn't pay as much as we. I wouldn't have bought one. Let's put it like that if we didn't get a deal on it. But they're a new sponsor on course, and that's really it. We've never really had a lot of sponsors.
Well, because I didn't remember if you did or not. Did you? With the new trailer, is it a open back or is it a toy hauler?
It's an open back. It's the new work and play, and it's called a cook and play. The only place you can buy it is at Mid-State RV in Byron, Georgia. Work and play builds them, but they own the patent, Mid-State RV does, to the cook and play version of it. And it's really nice. It's got a built-in generator. It's got a 110-gallon water tank. It's got a full shower, full bathroom, and the rear capacity, weight capacity for the cooking area for your cookers out back is 4,500 pounds, and it doesn't sway at all. It's the best pulling trailer I've ever pulled. We pulled it down to Bainbridge a few weeks ago when we cooked the KCBS down there, and I didn't even know it was back there, so I'm very proud of it. Haven't had time to make it our own yet and do all the little things we want to do to it personally, because it's in the process of getting wrapped, and Thad and Stump are fabbing us a sink for the rear of it, and looking forward to getting it next week and going to cook on it.
Wow. So does Terry have your trailer now?
It's actually up at Stump's and Warner Robins, and Terry is supposed to be going up this week or either the first Monday or Tuesday next week and wrapping it, and we're going to pick it up Thursday and head out to Waynesboro, Georgia to do a KCBS event.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you take lots of great pictures and post that all over the place because...
I will. Don't worry, Alan. Let me tell you, if you ever want to do a KCBS that's fun, there's a lot of them that are fun, but the hospitality at the Boss Hog in Waynesboro, Georgia is bar none. They set up a hospitality room for the cook teams for 36 hours that's loaded with sandwich meat, peanut butter, fruits, cakes, drinks, everything. You don't ever have to leave that cook. You can eat right there, the entire time. And it's a fun cook. And they're limited to 42 teams each year. So.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
So when you go to contest, Robbie, I mean, we're kind of all over the place, but when you go to contest, do you prefer a contest that's, got 117 teams, or do you like the little bit smaller contest like the 42 teams?
I hear a lot of folks say different things, but I prefer about 100 teams. And when you go to cook somewhere like Randall Bowman's Cook up in Cumming, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
That's going to have 100 teams, or like an Evans that's going to have 75 or 80, and I like that. I like going against a lot of folks. I think you, the judging is what's the word for it? It's more consistent when there's a lot of teams and a lot of judges. That's my personal opinion. But you know, we've won a lot of cooks. Our last FBA win a couple of years ago was at the airport in Tallahassee, and I think they only allowed 28 teams or 24 teams, and did really well there. So it just depends. I have no huge preference either way.
I just wondered, you know, we talk about it sometimes. Of course, you know, a lot of the chat is meat going up and payouts being, you know, not what we'd all like to see, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of teams now that won't go cook if there's not $10,000 out there, and I hate that's happening. But you know, and I'm not the one that criticizes judges by any means, because a lot of my best friends in barbecue are judges and master judges. But it seems like the more people that go through judging school and become judges, I've personally seen over the last couple of years that scores are lower than they need to be on a lot of folks' barbecue, especially in appearance. You know, there's no sense. If the barbecue looks good in the box, it deserves a perfect score in appearance.
And I
think I hate to say something like that because I'm going to get criticized for it, but I think before a judge can become a master judge, I know they have to go cook with so many teams. I think they should have to pay for a team's cook, so that they know what's being spent and what each team puts out there. Because you know as well as I know that every team, when they go to an event, if you include travel, meets, and everything, you got $1,000 in it. Sometimes it's tough to go to an FBA event and get a 7 in appearance when it was a perfect box, you know, and it just wasn't scored well because somebody didn't like the color or something or whatever. But that's just my personal opinion.
Well, no, you make a good point.
Judges don't hate me, because I respect all of you. I appreciate what you do, and I know y'all spend a lot of money too, going to these events and staying 2 and 3 nights. So I'm not disrespecting you.
No, and you know, it's kind of funny. You're hopefully, I'm sure most people are overly excited for you, because that's what we do in barbecue. We're happy for each other when we win and do well. You know,
yes,
but
I love the FBA. I love the format. I love every format we cook. I've kind of fallen off on the GBA recently, and I don't know. I just prefer the 4 categories. I prefer having a shot at getting a bong and the draw for the jack. Because if there's anything left on our bucket list, it's probably the jack getting lucky. You know, we had 6 in there 1 year and almost had a 7th. And that year, the Ross team went with their 1 win from Albany. And
Right.
So I try to cook the events that are jack draws now, and you know, other than the big jig, but because that's exciting, and the FBA is fun, because you got to fool with the grass, and even though the grass is fun sometimes, but you got an hour in between, and FBA is just fun to cook. We just don't get to do it as much as we want to.
Yeah. Now, you're how far into Georgia? You're by Vienna, aren't you?
We're just south of Vienna. If you're coming up Interstate 75, I live a half a mile off exit 78, so I'm 78 miles into Georgia.
Oh, so it's not too bad of a drive. I heard you say you're going to do Fernando Beach. That's looking like, for a non-sanctioned contest, that looks like it's got a pretty decent payout, and
It's got a lot of money. Jay called me, and I was supposed to cook down there last year, and we weren't able to. And so he asked me if we could come back. I said, yeah, we don't have, you know, we're trying to limit ourselves to 1 a month, except in August, I think. We're going to do the Bainbridge and Panama City back-to-back weekends. And we can manage 1 a month. Raymond, with his restaurant, you know, he can get away for 3 days. And me, with my job being the EMS director and fire chief, I just don't need to take a lot of Friday, you know.
Right.
I can manage 1 a month and still do my job appropriately. And so that's what we're trying to do, is look at 1 a month. And there might be 2 months out of the year that we're going to throw 2 in and everything. And we're doing a couple of Saturday-Sunday cooks, which are really convenient for me, up in North Georgia later in the year. And I'd like to see more of those. I think it would do well. You know, if you don't have a long drive to come home, it's just great just to be able to cook and drive home 3 hours and be home on Sunday afternoon by about 7, and you haven't missed any work, you know.
So. Right. Well, that's I talked to David Morrow, and, you know, they will do a lot of those where it's a Friday, Saturday, and then turn around and go on Saturday and do Saturday, Sunday in one weekend. That's crazy.
I've done that once with Cornelia, and literally one of you has to stay at awards, and, you know, you have two vehicles, and the other, as soon as you finish that turning, you got to take off and go get checked, get into that cook's meeting. And we've done two KCBSs in one weekend before, and I will never do it again. I'm too fat, too old, and too lazy. So. Or maybe
no,
it's just
that...
the too old thing that gets into it. But it really, it wears you out. I mean, it's a mental strain to do one KCBS with an hour and a half, four turn-ins, and then go get rid again. And the worst part is building eight boxes in one weekend. You know, eight boxes of greenery stuff.
It's a lot of parsley. Definitely
you know,
a lot of...
back to barbecue pit masters. I'm glad we went back this year, you know, no matter the results, because I like the format this year. We were talking about it being filmed in Tampa. What's unique about it is it was on a closed set. We carried our wives with us, and they weren't even allowed to stay on set this time. And I think it's unique that literally I don't have a clue who, besides Junior, and I can't talk a lot about the wild card because I know who wins the wild card because that's who we compete against. Junior Urias from Texas, and the wild card winner in our bracket for the semifinal. And I didn't know who the two others were, JD and Matt, until they started advertising on Facebook about a week and a half prior to their show.
Oh.
And I literally don't know. I wouldn't know that Joe, who's one of your guests tonight, is on the show if I didn't see him on the show this past weekend. So. And that's the way it was. I mean, you know, last year you could figure out you knew right after the awards were given on Pitmasters before every aired. Everybody knew who the winners were. Everybody knew that Rod Gray won it. Everybody knew Rod Gray beat us, and so forth, because it was done at contests, and it just, you know, but a close set I think made it interesting this year because there's a lot coming nobody knows about.
Yeah. No, I thought it was an interesting thing. And then, you know, as they were selecting, you know, it was like, well, how did they leave Florida out? And then, you know, Florida could have been part of the wild card. But what's that?
And they could be part of the wild card. I think they should do like a, you know, and I threw my 2 cents worth in. I would like to see them maybe if they want to do it in regions, I think a cool way, which I like the Georgia regional and so forth, but I'm like you, Florida getting left out with some of the top quality teams in the nation.
Right.
But let me tell you, in my opinion, and this, all you other folks out there in the world, you take Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, and Florida, you've got a lot of top, probably 90% of the top 200 teams in the nation are right here in those five or six states. So if you're going to do it, I'd like to see about 20 episodes in 1 year, and basically you take four states and you take four cooks from that state and one cook from these four states and then over here and over here and over here and make it more of a true regional, you know, I mean, yeah. But I really like the way they did it this year, and I think everybody will like it. You know, I know for a fact that myself and Roland Grill were the only two returning teams.
Right.
And I saw a lot of criticism on Facebook and stuff about and on Destination American Barbecue Pitmasters about the same old folks. But I don't know who anyone is on the other side other than the three that competed this past weekend. I don't have a clue who the teams are, but I know that Eric and I were the only two returning teams. So,
and you just happened to be on the same one.
It was happened to be on the same one. And,
yeah.
And, you know, there were a lot of teams that didn't get chosen, especially like Jim Bird with Killer Bees. What a hell of a resume he had last year.
Right,
And unfortunately, he didn't get chosen, and I hate that for he and Jan because they're a couple of the best barbecuers out there in the business right now, you know, and lots of teams from Georgia, I mean, you know, that applied that and there's lots of teams in Florida, and I'm like you. Maybe they need to bunch. You know, it's hard to. Were all the best teams in the nation on barbecue pitmasters? Absolutely not. But you know, there's no way they could take 2,000 teams because there's 2,000 grand champions out there, and it's a lot to do with not being afraid to run your mouth and have. I've been told I have the gift of gab. My wife says I'm FOS. So you take it as you will. I was really proud they wanted us back, and they gave us an opportunity. And Eric's really good on the camera, and it's not just resume. You got to be able to. I would love to do a little lesson on doing your video audition video for Pitmaster stuff. If you ever do Pitmasters, you'll fall in love with the show even more. But you got a lot of enthusiasm in that video. I mean, act the fool, be stupid, do whatever, you know, but get your point across how you feel about your barbecue.
Actually, your resume or your audition tape, because I looked at it and I looked at the boys from Squealing Your Pig today. I kind of went back and looked at those. Both of them are not similar. They're very different, but they're both very good. Some of the guys.
Did you look at one? We got three on YouTube, and the one for this season is the one where we're standing in Raymond's restaurant.
That's the one I saw.
Okay. Yeah. And what we did, we literally had one day to put it together. When we decided we were going to audition, it was the day before the deadline, and I literally threw it together in 7 minutes, and then we did the video in 7 minutes, and then it took me about an hour to put it together on the computer with some pictures and some music. So
that's pretty good.
It's easy to do, and I don't mind helping anybody do it. If you want advice on your video, not that we have a great video, but you got to have a little bit of comedy in there. Put a little bit of, because the folks from New York, they're wanting to see personality, not just talking about what you've done, or put some personality into the video.
Right. And that is their first way to see you. I mean, you guys did have a little bit in that some of those producers knew you and knew from last year. I'm glad you guys went back. I think that you deserved a shot at going back.
I appreciate it.
And so you guys, you've already cooked the semifinal. You guys have actually already cooked the finals, haven't they?
I assume the finals have been done. I assume.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what all the film dates were. I don't know who's going to be. I don't know what regionals this week.
Chris Chadwick.
So it's Tennessee, and Michael McDiarmid I saw was in the Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw where Chris advertised, but I don't know who the third team is there. So.
I can't remember. I met him, but I don't remember when I was. Okay. I dropped cookers off for Chris. So.
I literally don't have a clue until they put on Facebook who the other teams are. I mean, we just didn't know. It's crazy like that, but you know, like I said, I knew Junior won, and I know who wins the wild card round, but I don't have I didn't have a clue who they competed against. You know, because we did compete against them in the wild card. So
It sure makes it fun to watch. And listen, I appreciate your time. I think something's happened with my other boy, and I'm going to actually try and call him. I don't know if maybe he didn't get a number from me.
Well, it was fun talking to you. We can do it again sometime.
Robbie, thanks so much for being with us. And actually, he just called in, so perfect timing. Thanks for being with us. Congratulations, as usual.
Thank you.
You guys had a great showing, and we look forward to seeing
you
out there.
Yeah, our next episode in the semifinals, May 24th at 9 o'clock, Destination America Barbecue Pitmasters.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, Robbie,
thank you.
Lauren. All right,
bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, so that's Robbie Royal with Rescue Smokers. I have to tell you, I used to think the Royal part was just like his nickname. It was just Robbie Royal. He was winning the Kansas City Royal. Brett, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. I got to thinking maybe you didn't get a message with the number, and I just looked your phone number up on my cell phone. I was going to call you.
No, I have the number. I'm a full-time dad, so I had to pick up my son from football practice. And
all right. Well, we got a few minutes.
Raced home.
Yeah, we've got Brett Galloway with us, and you're with the Steak Cook-Off Association. Why don't you – because that's what's happening right now. I kind of wanted you on, and I've got a grill guy coming on next week because we're coming into National Barbecue Month, which, mm-hmm. You probably know all the statistics of how many people have grills and everything. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the association?
Okay. Well, we started the association in November. We were a competition cook team that cooked almost every steak cook-off in the country. We would jump on a plane, take our grill grates and our rub, fly to an event, rent a car, cook the cook-off, and come home just so we could try different events. And we noticed, you know, at the different cook-offs we'd go to, there were some different rules. Some you'd go to and they would ask you to cook it to a set temperature medium, and sometimes they wouldn't ask you, and sometimes you would turn it in pieces, sometimes it was whole, and there was just no uniformity in the steak cook-offs. And there's 26 of them in the country that pay over $500. Talking with some of the promoters from the major events, we just decided we were going to start a steak cook-off association to try to get everyone on the same page, kind of have a standardized rules. And so what we did is we took the top two cook-offs, in our opinions, the top two cook-offs, which was Magnolia and Tulsa, and kind of formed our rules around them. And since then, we've tweaked some things a little bit and found some ways to actually speed up the judging to where, you know, you turn that steak in, it's going to be judged hot. You know, it'll be hot and fresh when the judges get it.
Nice.
You know, and we're actually doing two-round judging now where you'll cook it, you know, say it's 40 teams, there'll be a couple tables, and top 30% from each table get it. That way, if there's somebody high on one side or the other, top 30% go to a final round, and then they cook steaks again with the fresh judges.
Oh.
So it's I don't want a judge tasting over 20 pieces of steak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if they have a half ounce, it's still 10-ounce steak. And so we've just kind of tweaked things a little bit, and right now we're sanctioning over half the cook-offs, we're right at half of the cook-offs in the country, and we've created four new cook-offs this year, which is really exciting. That's the, you know, the biggest part is creating new cook-offs. We're trying to build the sport of steak cook-off.
So you're basically about up to 30 that are going to be, that you're really looking to sanction, not counting the ones that are little with some of the barbecue contest.
Correct. Well, a couple of those are side cook-offs with a barbecue cook-off. You know, like the Steve Mayberry here in the Dallas area, we're doing a cook-off with them on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
But it still pays over $500 for first place.
Okay.
So, we're actually doing one with the Florida Barbecue Association out in Hobbs, New Mexico. We just signed that Sunday night.
That's pretty exciting.
That's really exciting
because FBA is excited about Hobbs anyway. So to add that into it is going to be great.
And what we do is doesn't take anything away from the barbecue cook-off. If anything, it adds to it. It gives the cook something fun to do on Friday nights.
Absolutely.
If we do a Friday event. And then it also, you know, it's a sport where if you have a Weber kettle or you have a $39 grill like we buy when we travel to these towns, I buy a cheap grill, and I flew to Florida this year, bought a cheap grill, and won the cook-off down there. $1,500 in Florida.
Where did you cook at?
Is it Ave Marie? There's a university there?
Yeah.
Ave Marie. It's south of Naples.
Yep. Down in Marco Island, wasn't it?
And we had a great time there. Everyone was so friendly, and it's just neat to, you don't have to have the $20,000 trailer like, you know, our barbecue trailer that we have. I would never be a barbecue cooker had I not started cooking steak cook-offs and fell in love with the competition, and then I started cooking barbecue. So it's a way guys can come in without a bunch of equipment. It's a single-day cook-off. You know, you can come in there with your grill, a table, and an easy up and compete.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great.
There's nothing.
Now, do you have members now, or are you guys just really looking to get the contest under the sanctioning body?
We do. We have, we don't have many members yet. We just started, but we're at about 45 members so far. And, you know, they're spread out between about 8 states. And we're mainly in the South, you know,
mm-hmm.
so far. But I've got interest in cook-offs in New Hampshire. We're going to have one in Tennessee. Wisconsin is interested. So there's some different states that you know, we're growing north. It's just going to take a little bit of time, and we hope it'll continue to grow.
Yeah, that's great. Now, if somebody does want to be a member, where do they go, and how can they get involved?
You could go to steakcookoffs.com, steakcookoffs with an S on the end, .com, and there's a membership page there where you can join. And, you know, we're just trying to build this. There's not enough cook-offs out there, steak cook-offs. And once the barbecue guys try it, they love it. It's a simple one-day deal, and there's nothing simple about cooking a great steak. But, you know, when I can throw a grill, easy up, and a table in the back of my truck and drive to Arkansas and compete, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
Now, as I'm talking to you.
Go ahead.
I'm packing right now for my cook-off this weekend in Plainview, so for my barbecue cook-off.
Okay, and I'm going to ask you about that in a second, too, because is there any regulations? Because, like, this weekend or last week with Barbecue Pitmasters, the boys were given a Vegas cut, and they either cooked it on a grill or, like, J.D. Caramelized his in a cast iron grill or a cast iron pot. Do you allow for both of those in the steak cook-off?
Absolutely. It's a cook time on a steak 6 to 8 minutes anyway. So we allow people to use gas grills, charcoal, wood. And if you want to cook it in your cast iron skillet, you can. I mean, it's a lot different than cooking, you know, on a old hickory or something, cooking your brisket slow, you know, where it keeps the temp the same. But, I mean, if you can beat me on a gas grill, God bless you. I mean, I'd go for it. And I get beat. I mean, I don't compete in any of the events we run. I just, you know, I'm just there to help run them and sanction it and try to build it. We were lucky enough to do the event at the National Barbecue Association this year. They had us run a celebrity cook-off.
That's fun. That's really fun.
It was neat.
Yeah. What now? Is it, your team is for barbecue is U.S. I forgot.
USA Cook Team.
USA Cook Team, and
We were the United States of America, and that kind of got shot to the wayside with an attorney. So we're now the USA Cook Team.
There's probably a patent on that other name.
somebody sells steaks overseas. A gentleman out of Chicago and had his attorneys out of San Francisco send me a nasty letter, and I said,
really?
Yes, sir, and so we're USA Cook Team. Everyone knows what it stands for, so it's okay.
Yeah, they do. And how long have you guys been cooking barbecue, because that's what you're doing this weekend?
We started in 2009 with the steak cook-off, and it was 2010 I decided I was going to cook barbecue, so I bought a grill. I hooked it up and drove straight from the welder to a cook-off, and it was interesting because I stood there and I didn't know what to do. I kind of looked around, and the guys beside me pulled out a brisket, so I pulled out my brisket that I had just bought at the HEB beside the cook-off, and I didn't know there was select, choice, and prime, and so I had a select. So I basically watched them and ended up getting a fourth in ribs and a seventh in chicken, and I was hooked on barbecue, too.
Oh.
And I was like, wow, this is kind of neat. And so we started doing that and kind of traded one pit for another, and now we got a 24-foot trailer with a 10-foot patio on it.
Yeah, your trailer looks really nice. I didn't
Thank
notice
you.
What you were cooking on. What do you cook on?
I cook on an R&O cube.
Okay.
It's called an R&O cube. It's kind of like a pit maker vault.
Yep, it's insulated, right?
It is, correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I used to have a pit maker vault, and I actually just got this one about 6 months ago, and I love it.
Yeah, and then what do you use for your steak cook-off?
I cook on a Weber kettle.
Do you?
I like the kettle. I like the way it circulates the heat. The porcelain on it allows it to get real hot. I can get it 600-700 degrees to cook my steaks.
That's flaming.
Yeah, it's hot. And there's not many guys out there that cook a hot steak, but that's just the way we've been lucky enough to win with it, and so I'm not changing it.
Yeah. Well, no, good call on that. And you said you've just been doing the steaks since, like, 2009?
Yeah, we started in 2009, and the second cook-off we went to, they gave us a score sheet, and it was the only cook-off I ever went to that did, and we ended up getting third in the cook-off. We were really excited because we had just started, but we missed on flavor, and so we changed our recipe, our rub, and after that, we went over 3 years without being less than sixth place, which with varying judges, that's hard to do. We were really excited.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things we do at SCA is we give you a score sheet after you're done. We announce the top 10, and then you can come up, and we'll give you the actual score sheets.
That's
so
nice.
You'll see how you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no feedback then. Otherwise, I just think my steak sucked or it was overcooked because it sat in the box. You know, it started cooking more or something.
Yeah, and they're always going to cook a bit in the box. And,
right.
You know, we've made a couple changes recently to actually speed up the judging. It's 60% quicker than it used to be. And, you know, so those steaks are getting judged hot and fresh. I think it's real important that they're judged quickly.
Now, just because I can't think if there is, but is there a steak category in the World Foods?
There is not.
There isn't.
The first year they did it, we didn't qualify, and the guy that actually won the World Championship that year, he went out there, and they put him in a recipe division, and he lost to a white chocolate apricot surprise. So and he got 24th out of 25 teams, I think it was.
Ooh.
There's no way to compete a steak against a white chocolate apricot surprise.
Yeah.
You know, and we were qualified for the next one, and they didn't do it that year. I guess that was 2 years ago, and they didn't do a steak division. And I guess until they have a steak division, you won't see steak cookers out there.
Do you think that's something that you guys will work towards getting them to do?
Possibly, yes. Yeah, because I think it's a neat event, you have to compete against steak cookers.
Well,
that's to make
what I'm
it fair.
Get your own category, especially if you guys are going to start actually having a sanctioning body with these big cook-offs. That sounds like the next most natural thing.
Mm-hmm. And I've talked with Carolyn Wells. I met her at the National Barbecue Association convention, and we've been dialoguing a bit, and just, you know, she's kind of supportive of what we're doing, and, you know, I think down the line that'll be something that'll probably happen.
Well, I'm glad you're going to be cooking in Hobbs. I wish I was going out there, but, you know, I'm glad that Florida is branching out, and I'm glad you're going to be part of it. We'll have to get you to do one down here in Florida.
Oh, we would love to. All we've heard is how great the judging at FBA is.
Yeah, I'm a certified judge there, too. It's where, you know, I mean, the nice thing is you know that it's going to be consistent, and that's what you want to know what to expect. So are you in Georgia at all for any contest?
Not yet, no. We haven't signed any deals there yet.
Well, let me ask you, Brett, on your website, will it say what are sanctioned contests? Do you have the list of those on there that people can look at?
Yeah, it's on steakcookoffs.com where the sanctioned events are.
Okay, beautiful. And then you also have a Facebook page for the State Cook-Off Association, correct?
We do, yeah. We just hit 1,000 likes today. We were really excited.
Good.
The Little State Cook-Off Association.
So they can check that out, and you're just getting started, so you're looking for members. How much is a single or a family membership? What do you have?
It's $30 for a membership a year.
Okay.
We're going to send them an SCA membership sticker to put on their trailer or their truck, and you'll get discounts on grill grates and custom logos from barbecuelogos.com, and we give them a list of every cook-off in the country as well, and a monthly newsletter that we send out kind of reviewing the cook-offs ahead of time and giving results from the past ones.
Well, that sounds great. Well, I'm glad you called in. I know we got kind of rushed here for a little bit of time, but we'll be looking for this as barbecue month comes up next month. I'm sure people will be wanting to hear from you more and more as the nation celebrates.
So.
And if we can do anything for you or you got a big announcement, don't hesitate to give me a call. We'll get you, you know, a few minutes on, okay?
Sounds great. I appreciate
it. All right,
it.
Brett. All right, Brett, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
All righty. You have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that's Brett Galloway with the State Cook-Off Association. Remember, they've got memberships on statecookoffs.com, or you can join on the or check out his Facebook page, State Cook-Off Association. We're going to go to our next guest, and tonight we have with us Joe Pierce. Are you there, Joe?
I am. How are you?
I'm good with Squeal Like a Pig Barbecue. Where did you guys come up with that name? I love it.
You know, it came from a long list of other barbecue names that were probably too inappropriate for our friends and family. And so we settled on one that kind of was a little risque as far as, you know, growing up watching the movie Deliverance. Right. But at the end of the day, we couldn't say some of the other ones and feel okay about them. So that's where Squeal Like a Pig Barbecue came from.
Well, while we're talking about names, did you see that thing that Barbecue Pitmaster put out that, you know, take your month of your birthday and everything? And did you see that?
I did.
It's hilarious.
I think mine was like fiery something. It was really good. I thought it was actually a great barbecue name. And if I ever start another barbecue thing, I'd probably use that. But it was very good.
Mine was Drunken Pigs. So
there you go.
So we want to congratulate you on a huge win in the Kansas City cook-off. You did an amazing job.
I really appreciate it. You know, being on Pitmasters was just an absolute blast, and I'm glad I got to go down there and represent Kansas City. And being the only team actually from the heart of Kansas City, I was really proud to be able to hold up the title of Kansas City Champion of Barbecue Pitmasters and get to represent Kansas City moving on in the semifinal round.
Yeah. Now, you were cooking against Fergalicious, who I've not been able to contact, but also Sugar Fire Smokehouse, who's going to be on next week. But that was a pretty interesting cook combination, you guys.
It was. And to be honest with you, when we submitted our audition tape to Pitmasters, I didn't think in a million years we'd get picked, mostly because we were a fairly inexperienced barbecue team. We started seriously competing in 2013 and did, I think, 14 or 15 competitions and just never won a grand champion, never won a reserve, came in third and fourth a couple times, but, you know, didn't have a lot of notches on our barbecue belt. But, you know, Pitmasters called us and liked our personality and liked our audition tape, and we got to go down there and represent Kansas City. And the teams we were, you know, competed against, Richard Fergola of Fergalicious Barbecue, a really great guy, and Mike Johnson of Sugar Fire Smokehouse, another just, I mean, two guys have really become good friends out of all this. And you know, any one of us could have won that competition and been proud to represent Kansas City. At the end of the day, I'm glad it's me.
Course.
I had a lot on the line being from Kansas City, living in Kansas City proper. But those are great guys and great competitors.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you know, watching it, I'm sure you enjoyed this part too, where Sugar Fire, he's like, boy, that Joe, he can really smack talk because you were perfect next to each other.
Yeah, it was really fun. I had to apologize to my wife after the first round got recorded because she told me to make sure I stayed humble and didn't talk too much smack. And after the competition got done, I called her first and I said, hey, do you remember that thing you told me not to do? And she said, yeah. And I was like, sorry, it just came out. But that's who I am. I'm a natural born competitor. I hate to lose. And if I can get in somebody's head a little bit, it's definitely who I am. I can't really ignore it. It comes out whether I want it to or not. So.
Oh, see, we don't smack talk too much in Florida. I mean, we bust each other's chops. But you were definitely smack talking.
I was smack talking, and in all fairness, they picked the scenes that I smack talked the most.
I know.
There's quite a few ones that I said they were great competitors as well. But when we're competing at a contest locally, there's not a lot of smack talk going on.
No.
It's more of, you know, a fun camaraderie and just getting to know people and hanging out with other people in the barbecue world and enjoying the outdoors and cooking.
Yeah, let's face it, Joe, it's part of the show. And
yeah,
you talked about your audition tape, and I told Robbie, mm-hmm. I checked. I had seen both of yours before, but I rewatched them today. And, you know, you guys had a really well put together tape.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was very well put together. And I will tell you a couple of things that really stood out in yours, that because I'm a relatively new team too, but you said mm-hmm. out of 12 contests, we've had 13 calls. And
right.
for people in the barbecue industry, you know, don't know how you decided to come up with that, but that was extremely smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wholeheartedly mean that.
Who
came up with that.
Yeah, well, it kind of came off, you know, I was trying to figure out how to express how well we did for our first year of competition. And, you know, we had a few competitions where we didn't get calls at all, and we had
mm-hmm.
other competitions where we got calls in three or four categories. And so when it was all said and done, we went back and looked at all the competitions we did, you know, it averaged out to about a call a competition. And for being, you know, first-year serious competitors
sure.
and trying to make an imprint on this world that is built in tradition and heritage of competition barbecue, you know, we were really happy with our 2013
yeah.
series season. And, you know, we competed against some of the best teams. It's really hard not to compete against the best teams when you're from Kansas City, because everybody is in Kansas City. That, you know, Pellet MB and, you know, Iowa Smoky D's, they always come down to the Kansas City region and, you know, compete in these barbecue contests. It's really hard to get away from some of the bigger teams in the country. So when we got a call at competition and our name was ahead of some of these bigger teams in the country, we were just ecstatic. And that's
sure.
kind of what we were trying to explain in the video. And obviously it worked out pretty well. So
absolutely did. Now, what is the local pig?
The local pig is a local butcher shop in Kansas City. And I actually ate
that's
lunch there today. They have a food trailer that's attached to their building called the Pig Witch, and I think there's two different owners there, but the Pig Witch gets all the meat from the local pig. And anyway, it's my favorite lunch spot in Kansas City, hands down. It's just absolutely phenomenal food, and the butcher shop is great. We can't buy a lot of our competition meat there just because they get two or three pigs a week and one cow a week, and they go through them pretty quick. And the cows and the pigs they get aren't the same size as what we need for competition.
Right.
But if I'm going down there to buy steaks, I mean, you can get eggs, you can get cheese, you can get chicken, anything you want you can get from there. And they're just really great guys. It's kind of an artisan butcher, and they hold whole hog butchering classes and stuff like that. Just a really cool spot to be.
Nice.
They're in the kind of the East Bottoms, kind of the edgier part of Kansas City that not a lot of people are in. And, you know, just provide a great product. They're really cool
yep.
people.
Well, now, a couple of things. It's you and your brother, Michael, and then you have mm-hmm. Brannon with you, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have three team members here.
And how do you guys, for a regular contest, how do you guys split up your responsibility meat-wise?
Absolutely. When we first started, it was my brother was cooking pork shoulder, Brannon was cooking ribs, and I was cooking chicken and brisket. As we kind of progressed on through the season, we decided we kind of needed to all come under the same roof, get on the same page, and kind of be one with barbecue, I guess is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And we started refining our recipes and our techniques, and we had the smoker that we used on Barbecue Pitmasters. We designed it, had my uncle build, 57smokers.com. You can go check the smoker out there. But at the end of the day, you know, we decided, hey, we all need to be on the same page. And now I'm doing all the prep work, all the seasoning, all the injecting, and they show up to help with building boxes, getting things wrapped, turn-ins, and stuff like that. So we're very much a team, but it helps with one person focusing on getting everything trimmed, injected, and prepped. You know, they're there the whole time I'm there. You know, they're helping managing the stuff on. But as far as, you know, whose role is what, it's kind of all blended together at this point, and I'm kind of taking the lead role on the competition side.
Now, on that offset that you said from 57smoker.com,
mm-hmm.
do you cook your whole competition on the one cooker?
We do. We cook everything on that one cooker. It's modeled after, a Jambo, and I wish we had the money to go out and buy one because Jamie's a great guy, but we haven't won enough, and we don't make enough money to go out and buy one. So we kind of took the best of some of the offset smokers we've seen, broke them down, reinvented it a little bit, and came up with a smoker that is, in my opinion, the absolutely perfect competition pit. You can cook all four meats on it. You know, our timing's down to where when we have our big cuts wrapped, our brisket and our pork butt, ribs and chicken are going on, and
right.
there's no overlap. Everything's smooth, and it's very efficient. Having an oversized firebox, everything's insulated. It's a great pit. And they're actually for sale. You can go to 57smokers.com and take a look at them.
Okay. So, but let's talk just a little bit about your cook at Pitmasters. You know, they took out that part that's, you know, where you've turned in and it said you may possibly have the best prime rib in Kansas City. What?
Right.
And you can't pay for that kind of advertisement. That's a,
I know.
And I'm mentioning just for anybody listening, if you want to go to, I think it's on your Facebook page too, but if you want
mm-hmm.
to go to anything, Pitmasters or onto Joe Pierce's Facebook page, they have a clip, you know, they take these segments out, and, I mean, you have to be thrilled about that.
I was dumbfounded when I saw it. I mean, I couldn't believe, they said that, and I was obviously really happy. And the primary roast we cooked I thought was really, really good. I wish I took a little more time slicing it and getting it in box for the judges. But taste-wise, I mean, I wish everybody could have tasted what I put in the box because it really was phenomenal.
It
was
great.
Juicy. It was moist.
Yeah.
It was flavorful. I know the judges said that it needed a little more smoke. I completely understand. I was worried about overcooking it, you know, so I was definitely watching how much smoke I was putting on it. You know, but at the end of the day, we had a really good cook, and we nailed the internal temperature of medium to medium
mm-hmm.
rare for that prime rib, and it turned out good. And I knew, you know, knowing competition barbecue and being judged on taste, tenderness, and appearance, you know, appearance is obviously the lowest calculated score, and then taste and tenderness is, you know, more important factor. So if I had to miss anywhere, I'm glad I missed where I did, and having the appearance just being a little lacking, but the taste and the tenderness be spot on.
Yeah, because when you took a big old chunk out of that hunk of beef you had in your hands,
yeah.
I mean, you could tell that it was cooked perfectly. And reflecting on that, what did you think about the guys breaking theirs down? Because, you know, all of us armchair quarterbacks on any given Sunday, we're sitting there going, you know, my instinct was not to break it down. So
right.
I'm like, oh, my God, but only one of them's not breaking it down. Am I screwing this up? You know, because I'm thinking, what would I do? I mean, obviously it worked out well, but was it going through your head as you're watching everybody break them down?
No, absolutely. I've cooked prime rib before in my house in my oven. I've never smoked one before, which I said on the show they cut out, obviously. But being next to Mike and Casey, the guys from
mm-hmm.
Surefire, Casey was a butcher for a very long time, and they started going at that thing. And I looked at my brother and I said, holy crap, do we need to be doing something different? And we kind of stuck to our game plan, and we're very analytical people, and we need time to think and prepare and almost write out a game plan. And that's kind of what we had to do with that prime rib roast, is we needed to make sure that we both had our heads wrapped around, you know, how long it needed to be cooked, what temperature it needed to be cooked at, what internal temperature it needed to get to. And once we figured that out, we kind of put the blinders up on the left and right side of our eyes and just focused on what we were doing. And you get so busy while you're down there and the camera's
right.
in your face that it's really hard to focus on what the other teams are doing. you know, I know the show showed a couple times, and I was talking to Mike about being loud with the sawzall cutting through those bones and the tumbler for his chicken. But besides that, I mean, we were not really paying attention to anything else going on besides what was in our tent.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I will say about this, and like I said, he's going to be on next week. They did an amazing job on breaking it down.
They did.
And it allows for more pieces, obviously, to be seen in the box. But, you know, as you're sitting there going, oh, my God, what would I do? I mean, I've cooked them whole, so that was my first instinct to do, especially if you've done that before. Now, did you only get two prime ribs, or did you have a third one there? Because, you know, we just saw you wrapping two.
What they kind of do, and I don't know if this is giving, you know, too many secrets away of barbecue pitmasters, but the long cook meats, if it's going to take longer than the 6 or 7 hours that you have to shoot between sun up and when turn in is, they let you show up anytime during the middle of the night and start prepping and cooking those bigger pieces of meat. And so they gave us that prime rib roast the night before. And so we had some time to get it ready and put it on the pit after, you know, an afterthought is, hey, we want to get as much smoke on it as possible, but we don't want to overcook it. So we gave ourselves 6 hours to cook it, and it ended up cooking in about 3 hours, 4 or 5 minutes. So it went pretty quick at 250 degrees. And that was just an experience of not having smoked a prime rib roast before. So at the end of the day, it turned out really well. But no, they gave us a lot of them. I mean, I think we had 4 total, and we could have used all of them if we needed to. And they were giant chunks of meat. I think they each weighed, you know, 15 to 20 pounds. And
they
those
looked
are,
like it.
Yeah, those were anywhere from, you know, probably $15 to $20 a pound.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you were going to buy one in a store. I mean, they really went all out on those cuts of meat, and they were gorgeous. You know, they actually had great marbleization and with some fat striations in there. And they're a really great cut of meat. Yeah,
flavoring because you're full of flavor, I think you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, I stole that line from Rod Gray from last year's Pitmasters, and I haven't had a chance. The last two contests, him and I were supposed to be at together. One was in Pleasant Hill, Missouri, and then just this last week in Overland Park. I think he didn't show up to either one of them. I think he got sick for both of them, which is unfortunate. I was going to have to say, hey, sorry I stole your line, but I haven't been able to see him yet.
So. Well, I think you were also born, bred, and fed.
Yeah, born, bred, and barbecue fed. I've been saying that for a couple years now. That was kind of my tagline for me in barbecue, and we said that quite a few times in audition tape, and I said it, you know, a bunch of times on the show, but it's 100% true. Growing up in Kansas City, we grew up in such a rich barbecue culture. My dad was a big barbecue cook, a big fan of barbecue, so, you know, every week we were at a different barbecue restaurant, you know, tasting barbecue and growing up in that sweet smoke of Kansas City, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Yeah, now, so the big question is, since you guys are so new, what's on your bucket list for barbecue? Because, I mean, to get into Pitmasters when you're so new, your bucket list is pretty wide open now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you know, at the end of the day, my goal is to be named Barbecue Pitmaster Grand Champion. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We want to represent, you know, I said it on the show, but we want to have back-to-back Kansas City winners. That's never been done on Barbecue Pitmasters before, so we have a lot of pressure moving forward to representing Kansas City in the highest way and win Barbecue Pitmasters representing Kansas City again, like Rod Gray did of Pellet Envy last year. So, you know, that's our goal, and that's what we're trying to do. But outside of Pitmasters, we are really focusing on competition barbecue. We've done four competitions this year already. We got another one this weekend. Last weekend, we were lucky enough to take reserve champion. We finished first in chicken and first in brisket, which was really, really fun there. And this week we got the Sam's Club National Tour here in Overland Park.
So we're
hoping to be able to move on into the regional there. But the big thing for Squeal Like a Pig Barbecue is that we officially announced today that we are opening a barbecue restaurant in Kansas City, Kansas, called Slaps Barbecue. And Slaps Barbecue came from Squeal Like a Pig, S-L-A-P-S, Slaps. And we are shooting to open June 1st, and we're going to bring, you know, traditionally cooked barbecue back. There's a lot of great barbecue restaurants in Kansas City. A lot of them, from what we see, cook on these big commercial smokers, the Old Hickories,
right,
the Southern Fries. There's nothing wrong with that. They're all great food, but we are building two smokers out of 500-gallon propane tanks with big fireboxes. We're going to burn oak and hickory wood, and we're going to cook barbecue like we do at a competition and cook it low and slow and hopefully turn out a product that Kansas City hasn't seen in a while.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I love, because when I first saw your announcement, it said Slaps on the side of it. I'm like, Slaps. And then I was like, Squeal Like a Pig. And then I'm reading,
yeah,
it said, I think that's really smart. That's cute.
Yeah, Squeal Like a Pig on the front of a building just is a little bit of a mouthful. So we broke it down a little bit, and we didn't even know when we picked the team name, Squeal Like a Pig Barbecue, that, you know, SLAP was an acronym for it. So
yeah,
it just, by happen chance, you know, it worked out really well for us, and we call ourselves SLAP Barbecue all the time, and now we get to open a restaurant and call it Slaps Barbecue and do something that Kansas City hadn't seen in a while and hopefully knock it out of the park. We're getting a lot of traction with it. Obviously, a lot of publicity with Pitmasters and done a lot of stuff on local TV here, and we're really excited about it. I mean, I'm so passionate about barbecue that, you know, I eat, drink, sleep, and breathe barbecue. My wife asks me all the time when I'm not talking, she says, Joe, what are you thinking about? And I tell her, just don't ask anymore, because it's barbecue.
I know, and unfortunately, they don't always get it, do they? Because Leon will be over there, my honey will be going, are you making up a recipe, or, you know,
yeah,
are you in there cooking, or what are you doing? But, yeah,
right.
I do think it gets to a point where you kind of are eating, living and sleeping barbecue and food and grilling. It's going to be you and your brother, Michael. And our
third partner, Brandon. We're the three owners. And
wow,
we're going to keep it kind of minimal as far as staff. I'm going to be up late at night cooking the food, and then Mike and Brandon are going to be in there during the day, you know, slicing, preparing, plating. Everything we cook is going to be fresh. We're not going to be cooling anything off and then reheating it. It's going to come straight from the smokers into a hot hold, and we will keep it there until we slice it right in front of people and send them on their way with a plate. And we're really excited about it. We don't see that style of barbecue anywhere in Kansas City, and we're really happy to be doing something different.
Yeah, it actually kind of is reminiscent of Aaron Franklin's restaurant, it sounds like, in the back of my brain.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we've been to Franklin's quite a few times, and we absolutely love his business model. There is absolutely no way we can recreate the taste or flavor that he's putting off.
Right.
But, you know, as far as what he's doing, cooking food and selling till he's sold out, is a great business model. And we've had the pleasure of meeting with him and talking with him, and just a really great guy. And he's, you know, kind of helped us with some pit design stuff. And at the end of the day, he's really cool dude, and one of the nicest guys in barbecue around.
And we like that for sure. I saw it looks like it's going to be like a metal building.
Yeah, it's a freestanding steel building. The building itself has been a restaurant for 30-something years. In Kansas City, it used to be called Sophie's, and anybody in the Kansas City, Kansas,
wow,
Wyandotte County area knew Sophie's right off the bat and said, oh, I know exactly where you're going to be. I'm glad another restaurant's going in there.
Yeah.
And we are really happy with the location. We're going to try to serve that working men's lunch crowd. They're going to be able to come in, you know, get food to go. We're going to cater. We're also buying a food truck to hit some of the local spots in Kansas City. We're trying to, you know, knock as far as revenue streams out of the park. We're trying to,
right,
you know, do enough to make sure that we are able to support ourselves and support our business. And the great part about what we're doing, the building we have is a really reasonable price. We're not, you know, upside down in rent every month. Utilities are reasonable. So we're in a really good spot. And that's the big thing we see with buildings, you know, in Kansas City. Everybody is looking for that, you know, awesome location in downtown Kansas City or in the Plaza, you know, which is some of the higher-end buildings in Kansas City, and they just don't make it because they're spending so much money on rent and utilities. So we kind of went to a spot that we weren't too worried about that, and, you know, we're going to focus on serving lunch and dinner and sell as many plates of food we can a day.
Yeah, yeah, and that's huge, it having been a refrigerator, having been a restaurant before, because mm-hmm. people are used to going there. So
right.
now they see it still as a restaurant. So that's super deal there. You're looking at June 1st for that to happen?
Absolutely. We have we have all our business license, health inspections, building inspections, fire inspections, all that's taken care of.
Wow, great.
Right now we could technically open tomorrow and sell barbecue. The smokers are almost done, which is one thing holding us up. And then my brother Mike and our other partner Brandon have resigned from their jobs, and I believe they're quitting in the middle of the month, their last day. And once that happens, we're pushing everything we can. We're going to fly everywhere in Kansas City with our menu and just let everybody know we're out there to, you know, take to-go orders, to cater, and look out for our food truck and our restaurant.
Wow. Now, I saw that you guys were doing the food truck. Is Kansas City, do they have a pretty decent reception to the food trucks? Because not every place does.
Right. It's up and coming. Right now, there's maybe 10 or 15 max that are pretty regular in the Kansas City area.
That's it.
So it's not like a place in Austin or even Dallas for that matter who have, you know, 50 or 60 food trucks in their area or a central spot for food trucks to go. But there's a food truck society. You know, they're really pushing to get as many people opening food trucks as possible and really start catering towards that working man's lunch crowd, which is obviously what we're trying to do. But there's so much stuff going on in Kansas City with the downtown they redid and has the Power and Light District, which has a bunch of really great restaurants and the Sprint Center, which has sporting events, concerts, and stuff like that. And, you know, the more food trucks, the better, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the Crossroads area, which has First Fridays, which is a very artistic area where artists go and set up all their stuff and sell. And we'll be able to hit that area, which is very close to where our restaurant is, and some of the other big fairs and kind of downtown days. I don't know what they're called anymore, but in the outskirts of Kansas City that we'll be able to hit and sell food at and turn a profit on.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that it is a little bit behind on the food truck thing, so you guys are probably getting in at a great time, being as big of area as you're living in.
It is a great time to do it. The hindrance you're seeing for food trucks in Kansas City is that Kansas City hasn't adapted like some of the other cities have to allow food trucks to thrive. They make it a little more difficult. It's not impossible. But with the restrictions they have of how many times you have to report to your commissary and, you know, the stipulations of how you hold food and cook food and the permits you have to get to have the food truck and have the smoker, it's a little overwhelming for somebody who hasn't put the time in to research it. So, you know, if anybody's out there looking to open a food truck in Kansas City, take it slow, go out there, do your research, figure out what you need to do, get with the commissary, and it goes pretty smoothly. And it's just a matter of people getting out there and doing it. And once that happens, I'm sure Kansas City is a great city. They're going to make it, you know, awesome for food trucks to be around and profitable. So.
Yeah. Now, you're besides the restaurant now, but mm-hmm. you guys were doing some catering, weren't you, before?
Absolutely. We were quite a bit, actually, for weddings, and it was really word of mouth stuff. We weren't out there looking for catering deals. Most people knew that we had a barbecue team, and they'd ask if we could do catering stuff. And did a lot of family functions, a lot of weddings, a couple corporate parties, and last year we did, I think, 15 or 20 pretty big size events, and this year we're hoping to, you know, to double that and really hit the catering pretty hard.
Yeah, so you definitely, you know, just airing with the restaurant coming up, you guys are definitely in like one big cyclone whirlwind right now.
Oh, it is absolutely nuts in my world right now. We are trying to stay relevant in competition barbecue. We're opening a restaurant, getting all that ready, getting a food truck ready, getting catering ready, getting our sauces and rubs are being in production right now. They're going to be available in the middle of May. So just with all that going on and being on Pitmasters, you know, is quite a bit to deal with, but we're handling it pretty well. We're very, very analytical people. We put everything down on paper. We actually had a meeting right before I got on the phone with you about everything we needed to get done with my brother and Brandon. And so we're on top of it. We're making sure we're doing everything we need to do to make sure we hit that June 1st date for the restaurant and stay relevant in competition barbecue and living our dream.
Yeah. Now, how many competitions do you guys have coming up with all this other activity?
Right now, we have just this one. We've done this one this week in the Sam's Club will be our fifth competition of the year, not including Pitmasters. But after that, we're taking a couple weeks off and then looking at the end of May and then probably one in June. And then after the barbecue restaurant's up and running, we'll go back to probably about two a month until it gets too cold here. We're going to try to end up doing about 20 to 25 competitions this year.
That's a lot, especially opening a new business and, you know, your time restraint that you guys have, you know,
absolutely,
that it is so tight. Yeah. Would you, what would be your next barbecue highlight that you'd like to do besides represent for Pitmasters?
You know, we're still looking for our first grand champion.
We've,
you know, we were lucky enough to take reserve last weekend, which was an absolute blast, but we are in a rhythm in, you know, cooking barbecue competitions right now, and I would really love to get that first grand championship under our belt get invited to the American Royal Invitational, get our name in the hat for the Jack, you know, all those things that barbecue competition teams really, really strive for, being an elite team. And, you know, to be an elite team, you got to be in the Invitational every year. You got to be in the American Royal Open. You got to be invited to the Jack. So, you know, and also progressing through the Sam's Club National Barbecue Tour, we'd love to be able to get down to the championship down in Bentonville. You know, so I would love, you know, my goal not only is to win Barbecue Pit Masters, but I said it on Pit Masters. I said, I want to show Kansas City and the nation why school like a big barbecue is one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah.
And that's my driving force. I want to be known as one of the great barbecue cooks and not only for pride's sake of Kansas City, but I also want to raise up a younger generation of barbecuers. You know, I'm 28 years old. I was 27 when we shot Pitmasters, and they went into it a lot, quite a bit of being one of the youngest competitors on barbecue Pitmasters has ever had. And I'm trying to do something nobody else has done before, be a young barbecue Pitmaster grand champion. And I know there's a lot of great young cooks out there, and hopefully, you know, we can all come together and take the barbecue world by storm and show some of these older guys that, hey, the younger guys got it going on.
Oh, brother. Oh, sorry, I'm one of the older women. You know what's great, Joe, is everybody does need to see new people coming on. All of the associations need new people and new blood all the time. I mean, we need new people in offices. We need, Jim Elzer, Sweet Smoke Q, one of my sponsors, his 17-year-old son cooks with him sometimes. And in Florida, him and one of the other kids of one of the other teams, they get together and they're the second-generation team, and they compete once in a while. And everybody loves to see it. you don't want to get
right.
beat by them, but, you know, we'd love to have them out there too. And so you're right.
Right.
We need to do our job to get new teams all the time and younger people all the time participating. So, you know, you're a good ambassador for barbecue, and that's half of what we're, you know, what we're doing, talking like this, you know, being an ambassador for barbecue.
Right, and that's really what I love to do. I love being out there talking about barbecue. I love, you know, representing Kansas City. I love representing Barbecue Pitmasters, and this is, you know, I said in my audition tape that barbecue was a dream that became an obsession. From obsession, it became a reality. And now being on Pitmasters and winning the Kansas City Championship, you know, it's a dream again.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love everything about it, and I'm really happy that I've had these opportunities, and thank the Lord every day that he's given me the opportunity to do what I love.
Well, and I got to tell you, too, about your audition tape. I enjoyed the outtakes. That was, you know, some people put those in because I think your tape – is like 9 minutes with all of that stuff or something, isn't it?
We were a little worried about that. Brian, I can't remember his last name, the casting director for Pitmasters reached out to everybody.
Brian Small.
Brian Small.
Yep.
Reaches out. He says, you know, make a 3 to 5 minute video.
Yep.
And my good friend Todd DeMott, who filmed and edited and produced the video for us, he said, hey, Joe, this is turning out to be, you know, over 5 minutes. And I said, well, just roll with it. You know, we'll send it in. If they don't get through the first couple minutes, it was not meant to be. But I think the outtakes were probably some of the things that helped us get on the show because, you know, we showed our funny side as long with our serious side, and we like to have a good time when we're at barbecue competition. So.
Yeah, no, it was fun, and I could just, you know, that would be somebody filming at a contest if that were the case. So, yeah, you guys,
right.
Good job.
Thank you.
I'm just waiting at your little brother or older brother? Older brother?
Older brother. He hasn't called in yet?
No, I don't know what he's doing. I was debating if I should pick up the phone and dial into him because I don't want to screw him up for time, too.
I would say you're probably okay to call him. He actually just sent me a text message. He says, when I call in, I hit one, and I texted him back, and I said, right. So I'm not sure if he's...
Well, we'll just
kind of he just said he's on right now, so there
okay.
you go.
Okay. Well, then we're going to say thank you for being on to you.
I appreciate
congratulations.
It.
I mean, you guys really did do a great job. We didn't even talk about your other meat, but maybe I'll talk to your brother about that.
Yeah, talk to him about the whole chicken. He'll have fun with it.
Yeah. He will have fun with it. Of course, he's not on yet. Let's wait till he gets on.
He told me he was on.
It might be, you know, the little Blog Talk lady has to say Blog Talk Radio, make sure everybody knows. But you guys only cook in KCBS and Sam's? Is that the, I mean, do you cook any other sanctioning bodies?
Not really. We're not opposed to it. We just, with the time constraints we had at our previous jobs and now with the restaurant, we don't have a lot of time to get away down to, you know, an MBN or the Georgia or the Florida. We would love to get down and do some other events. Well, I'm really interested in you know, the Texas, I can't remember what they're called, but
well, that's
the Texas
whole, that's the area that they have three sanctioning, or I think they actually have more than three, but they have multiple sanctioning bodies just in Texas. And
right.
Yeah.
But
so,
yeah, we're very interested in it. Hopefully here in the next year or so, we'll be able to get out and branch out, and we'd love to do an MBN and cook a whole hog.
Yeah,
and kind of branch
of
out
goals.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, listen, I'm going to let you go see where your brother is, and thank
good.
You again. When you guys get up and running, like I said, and when your spices and stuff are ready, give us a little shout so we can run a plug for you, okay?
Will do, Lori. I really appreciate the time today.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
have
so
a good
that's
one.
You too. That's Joe Pierce with Squeal Like a Pig, soon to be Slaps Barbecue there in Kansas City. And while I wait for Michael to get in on the switchboard here, because him and I will be running probably right down to the bitter end, I just want to remind you that we've got Sweet Smoke Q. You can get 20% off on any of his products on SweetSmokeQ.com by using the code GODDESS, G-O-D-D-E-S-S, and, you know, check out what he's got there. You can either get the original pork. He's expecting the beef injection to be available pretty soon. So hopefully you will, you know what, I think there's a problem in the switchboard. So, Michael, if you're trying to call in, Mike, try it again because it looks like there might be actually a problem on my switchboard and I don't have any control over that. So Jim is looking for that beef injection to be out pretty soon. I know I watched somebody else have it this weekend. I was out of it. I was traumatized over that. But does a great job. The pork injection's kind of sweeping the nation. I mean, everybody's using it from here to Washington, and I'm sure he's probably sent it overseas by now, too. Just makes life a lot easier to have a liquid injection concentrate as opposed to having to mix something, especially if you're at a contest and you don't have any electric. So it is something that doesn't have to be blended very very hard. So check out his product, 20% off. Also want to, let's see what we got here. I am going to actually try to call Mike, call out here. Let me just look at his number because, oh, it's not taking it. Uh-oh. It just threw me off the switchboard. All right. I know you guys can probably still hear me, so I'm still here. Maybe you still can't hear because it's making me log in. You've got to be kidding. See, what happens sometimes when these are live, I'll just kind of tell you this, is that there's several other, like thousands of other shows going on right now, and sometimes they get overloaded, and we're near, you know, this was happening like right at a half hour point. Let's see, because I'm literally logging back in, so hopefully I am still on, and I haven't lost everybody. Let's see. And we're back into the studio. Oh, they have thrown me completely out. So unfortunately, I'm going to hang up and call back in. To Mike and anybody else that's still on there, generally it will let me back in. I'm going to let my computer reboot here, or not reboot, but totally get in. Okay, we're back. And we have, okay, Mike, you're there. Hang on, trying to answer you.
Can you hear me?
I can now. Boy, I'm sorry about that. You know, that's the thing about a live show. And could you hear me when I was saying that this is sometimes has happened?
Yeah, I could hear you the whole time I was trying to get over to you, but it wasn't.
Okay, well, sorry about that, but, you know, I think because sometimes they overbook these shows and it's like any other server, it kind of crashes. But anyway, folks, we've got Mike Pierce with us, Michael Pierce, and he really was the pit guy at Pitmasters for Squeal Like a Pig. And so let's talk a little bit about that because you know, you guys, it's always a two-man team, right?
Yep, correct. We had a three-man competition team, but it's only two individuals allowed on the show. Really, the way they set it up is it's a head cook and an assistant. So Joe likes to refer to me as the box builder. I do accomplish a lot more than just building the box.
Well, especially at the show. I mean, and let's kind of, you know, tune that into the show because, you know, Joe became, and we're just going to use you guys because you're brothers and you're doing this. Joe basically became the personality of the show, and they are, like, all up in his face, whereas
yeah.
you become the workhorse at the show a lot, don't you?
Yep, that's absolutely right. And they, you know, they, I've been saying all along they've got the right guy on the job with Joe. He's he did a great job in front of the camera and did a great
absolutely.
Job representing us in Kansas City. And yeah, at the end of the day, you know, I spent the majority of my time, you know, working very closely with Joe to make sure that everything came off without a hitch. And you don't see much of that. Not even remotely the amount of back and forth that Joe and I had to do to make sure we were on pace. I heard his commentary before I got on, and you know, the one thing he didn't mention was that it was an incredible amount of work. You know, you know, together, I guess is the way to say it. You know, we pushed ourselves. It was a heavy task to pull off everything they were asking for on the show, and we did it with smiles on our faces because it was an amazing experience. But the effort that goes into being on the show and pulling off a heck of a cook, you know, didn't quite expect it to be that strenuous. So it was an interesting time.
Well, and you know, let's see, I think Robbie was saying earlier, Robbie Royal was on, he really liked the closed set situation. But he's done the show. How did you guys feel about the closed set? Did it the dynamics of not having an audience there? Do you feel like that affected you guys at all?
You know, I can't speak to the other side of it. Obviously, we haven't done it before where there was other folks on set. But I can tell you that in the crux of all of it, as we were working to put out the product, there was no distractions. I mean, I had no clue what was going on around us, you know, for the most part. We were so tuned into
right.
what we were trying to do and following the lead of the producers and what they needed to get on camera. So, you know, we didn't have many distractions, and I can't say that would be the same if we were filming it at a big barbecue competition. But, you know, it was just so focused that I don't know if it would have been a huge difference for us. It may have been a little funner, you know, having some people around here in the office.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you guys actually drove your pit down, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. We had, we've got our barbecue trailer that we use for competitions, and then we pulled our smoker behind that. So it was a pretty good haul.
Oh, wait, you guys pull a trailer and then a pit behind it?
Yeah, correct. We've got a enclosed cargo trailer, and then we've got our smokers on the trailer itself that we pull behind the enclosed trailer.
Oh, see, I always think that's crazy to do, but I can't even imagine doing that. Rub has done that before, you know, Rob Bagby down here. I've seen him do that, and I'm like, are you insane? Yeah, that's a haul. That's a whole different animal to travel like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, it was part of the fun of the trip. You know, we got to take off work and you know, get in the truck and go. And it was a good road trip. It was a long, you know, it was a lot of miles, and you did have to take precautions with pulling two trailers. I think it was 1,300 or 1,500 miles one place. So it was an experience. But I'll tell you, we had a blast, and we got to spend about 19 hours in the truck strategizing. So
yeah, that's
well.
True. Yeah, and, you know, if you had lost, that's a long way home, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it made all the difference in the world here
yeah.
at Arnie's Ball.
Yeah, because you're totally jacked up. That's an easy ride home then.
Exactly.
Is that how you guys travel to your regular competitions, pull in two trailers?
You know, I think lucky for us, we've got so many competitions in the immediate Kansas City area that all – drag the enclosed trailer out on a Thursday
yeah.
evening or a Friday morning, and Joe will head out with the smoker behind his car later on. We try to avoid it if we can. It's a relatively safe setup. I mean, not relatively, it's a very safe setup, but, you know, nobody wants to have to drop a trailer to back another trailer up, so we
yeah.
try to conquer and divide everywhere we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I was talking to him about the audition tapes. I love that you said, here it's 17 degrees and you're out barbecuing.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, you know, Joe touched on it quite a bit, but the amount of time that we as individuals and then in the more recent years us as a team have put behind smokers, you know, cooking food and you know, perfecting our own individual barbecue is countless. And I think you have to do that in all different assignments. You have to do that really when you don't want to do it. That's really when you get into that rhythm of doing it that often. And you know, we wanted to point that out to barbecue pitmasters that, hey, we're not weekend warriors. We're doing this every day, and we're like Joe said several times, trying to perfect what we're putting out in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, one of the things that I thought about as you were saying that on your audition tape is, you know, that's a lot about also really knowing your cooker. I mean, you really know that offset that you were working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that comes with time, and that cooker specifically we cooked on for most of 2013. Like Joe said, it was custom built for us. We kind of gave some plans and had it built out. And it took us a while to figure out, you know, how we wanted it to run and where to build the fire in the firebox. You know, we have it down to such a science now that, you know, you can almost do it in your sleep. You got to watch it a little more than some of the automatic stuff out there. But man, does it turn out some really good barbecue.
Yeah, and, you know, him and I didn't get a chance. We definitely talked about the prime ribs, but, you know, you guys got whole chickens, and it actually looked like they were relatively small chickens.
Yeah, they were as close to a Cornish hen as you can get.
That's what I was thinking.
They were, you know, ham size. I mean, they were the smallest chickens. We asked for more chickens, actually. We asked if they had any more, because when we cooked competition, we cooked, you know, upwards of, you know, 20 to 30 chicken thighs looking for the perfect one.
Right.
So we wanted as many parts of whole chickens as we could get our hands on. I think, you know, we went into that. we made a commitment before we went down there that we weren't going to try anything different. You know, I think we had gotten that advice from some of our mentors out there in the world. And, you know, the thing we wanted to do was whatever they threw at us, we wanted to cook it. Try to cook it the same way we cook something else. And so whole chicken, you know, we chopped it up into pieces that we had cooked before and parted it out. And, you know, we cooked it identical to how we would have cooked it for a competition barbecue in Kansas City. And it sure paid off. We really nailed it, I think, in the judges' eyes. And it was a phenomenal product.
Yeah, they were actually really, really happy. And, you know, that's an easy one to blow, plus it did look like it was small. You guys didn't have a whole lot of time that you were actually working on that. You brined yours, didn't you? I think all three of you brined them.
We didn't brine. We did a little marinade in the pan put it on, but we did not brine ours.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't remember for sure. I usually have a bunch of notes in front of me, and I didn't write that down for some reason.
No worries. I'll tell you, when you're there side by side watching two other teams brine, you start to ask yourself, should I be brining? But again, we were very careful to stick to our philosophy of don't change anything. You know, do it the way we're comfortable with. You know, the minute we start cooking chickens whole or cooking them in a different fashion, you know, there's going to be something that comes up that we're not familiar with, and it's going to affect that final product.
Yeah, and that was a good decision to really stick to. Obviously, but it's a good decision anyway, because it never fails any of us. When we train something up at a contest, that's not the place to start changing it.
No, you're absolutely right. Definitely on the barbecue pit master's not the place to do it.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have been. If you were talking with a brand new team, because you and I are going to get cut short on time, but if you were talking to a brand new team, Mike, and even though you guys are relatively new, what would be a couple of tips that you'd give them, especially after experience like this?
Yeah, I think the biggest things that paid off for us were, you know, we cook every weekend, no matter what, regardless if we're doing a competition. You have to put in countless hours. You know, with your pit, with the four categories of meat, you have to put in that time. That's where the experience comes from. You can read all the blogs, and there's great tips out there, but it's got to come from putting in that time. And then the second thing that we've adhered to for the most part, there's a little fluctuation sometimes when we get frustrated, but for the most part is, you know, we don't change anything right away. You know, if something doesn't work, we don't get a good score, you know, we don't get a call in a category or we have a competition that we completely bomb, we don't necessarily change it right away. We like to sit on those results and sit on three or four cooks doing it the same way before we start making adjustments. And I think that's a critical thing. I am an instant gratification type of guy. I like to see the results of making a change, and barbecue is not that. It's been a great opportunity for me. And Joe kind of comes by it naturally. It's been a great opportunity for me to take a step back, let the process work, and get down to the root of what is making this cook good and what are the attributes
right.
that are making this product come out the way it's supposed to. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. You and I chatted earlier, and you said you were a realtor. Are you a broker or working for somebody else? Or
No, I'm actually my license is in referral, so I'm not an active realtor anymore, but was for a lot of years, and have been in the mortgage servicing business, which is the dark. We've been on the dark side of the real estate world.
that's right. You did say that.
Yeah. So, but we're looking for, you know, Slaps Barbecue. It's me, Joe, and Brandon's exit strategy. And, we've been working, you know, the last year and a half with Competition Barbecue and the show, but it's been a work in progress for several years to put our minds together and get into that groove of applying what we're really good at and applying all of our skills to something that we can use to build a solid platform and a career for ourselves off of.
Yeah, well, and where I was going with that, I mean, this is obviously a scary thing. You and Brandon are getting ready to both leave your jobs in the middle of the month, he said?
Yep, that's correct. We've officially given notice, and we like to consider ourselves almost full-time barbecue guys.
That's pretty exciting, and that's a long time in the making. You know, we talked about the location and everything. Are you guys going to get involved with classes or anything like that?
You know what? I think we will. We don't have piles and piles of experience in the competition circuit, and we don't want to teach somebody until we have, you know, a comfort level of, you know, hey, we can set you up for success in competition barbecue. So
right.
down the road, absolutely, but we're humble enough to know that we've still got a lot to learn, and although we've had some great traction, I think we'll wait until we see our processes and our track record speak for themselves. The restaurant's a little bit of a different deal. You know, that's a Kansas City born and raised type of thing, and like Joe said, that comes from heritage, tradition, and years and years and years cooking barbecue. So,
yeah, I'm sure you guys are totally excited about all of that, and I wish you a ton of luck. I'm sorry
yeah.
that we're getting cut off here, but I wish you a ton of luck. I know that you obviously know your cookers, and is 57 Smoker, or is he going to make your cookers for the restaurant?
Yep, 57smokers.com. They're putting together our big fits for the restaurant. They've got one completed. We're actually going out there tomorrow morning to do a test fire on it.
Oh, nice.
And we're excited to get them installed. We're hoping to be able to if we max it out, cook, you know, anywhere between 1,000 and maybe 1,700 pounds of meat a day if we really needed to. Hopefully we're not working to need to cook that much meat, but we want to have some capacity. So,
let me tell you, I just recently did 128 Boston butts for a charity
yeah.
cook, and let me tell you, that's a potload of meat, man.
Yes, it is. It adds up quick.
It adds up quick, and there were all hands on deck, and, you know, it's when you think about the amount of meat that some of these restaurants put out, you know, you guys could be doing that, and, you know, if things go tremendous and with parties
yeah.
and stuff on the side, and that's the kind of problem I hope you have.
Hey, we appreciate it, and I think that's what we're going for. So,
yeah,
we're going to give it our best try, that's for sure, and I think we've got a great city behind us that'll support us, and there's nobody out there that's going to work harder to put a heck of a barbecue product in front of you know, the great folks in Kansas City.
Yeah, well, Michael, good luck, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Yep, we appreciate it very much.
Okay. All right, take care.
Thank you. Yep,
all
right. Bye-bye.
And that's going to wrap the show up, folks. That's Mike Pierce with Squeal Like a Pig. I want to thank my sponsors, Sweet Smoke Q, Mac Daddy Smoker, Rec Tech Pellet Cookers, cookandpellets.com, Royal Oak Charcoal, and of course, Pirate 50 Custom Artwork and Trophies. If you want to check out last week's live show that I did in Crystal River, you can check that out in archives. I'll be with you again next Tuesday. And until then, hey, keep on smoking out there. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, 20% off Sweet Smoke Q. Code is Goddess. And with that, good night. And this weekend starts National Barbecue Month, folks. Go out there and grill.